Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, and welcome to another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, live from High Top Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Rivero, New Jersey. This is our three-hour weekly get-together. See, that's 3 hours. Where we can bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday night, July. That's right, July the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2022. And I hope you guys had a great 4th of July weekend. I had a really, I had a good one. It wasn't great. It was good. A couple of crazy things and some crazy stuff in my life, but I'm not getting into that on this show. But I got to spend a little time with my family and a lot of rest. Watch a great show. If you get a chance to watch The Terminal List with Chris Pratt, great 8 episodes worth of TV to watch. The Terminal List. It's on Amazon Prime. I can't recommend it enough. Had a great time watching that. Hold on. I guess I didn't go live. I'm live right now. Sorry about that. How's that, Jeff? We got volume now? Guys, everybody hear me out there? Hello? Let me see. Can you hear me, Jeff? Let's see. I think I got everything hooked up. Volume up. Let's see. Can anybody hear me out there? If you can, wave your hand. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No? Interesting. Very interesting. Why do we not have... Now can you hear me? There we go. So we start all over again. I feel like starting the whole freaking show all over. I got to tell you, today was the worst night. Anyway, live from Higher Top Hard Rocket Sports Shoes in beautiful Sigmund Road, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, of sports. And thanks. Welcome to Thursday, July the 7th in our year of 2022. And I hope you guys had a great weekend, 4th of July. I hope everybody was safe, kept all their fingers and toes and all that good stuff. I had a nice weekend. Not great. Some family strife, which we will definitely not go into on this show. But I hope everybody out there is okay and had a great time. A nice short week of work and one more day. Weather's been great. Traffic's been light. Can't beat it if you got to go to work in the city every day. In the meantime, I watched a great show over the weekend. I was trying to tell you guys with the volume off. The Terminal List. Amazon Prime, The Terminal List. 8 episodes. Chris Pratt does a great job. He's a very angry Navy SEAL. I'm telling you, I recommend it highly. So, listen, we got to get to the show tonight. Let me get my notes out. I'm telling you, I am all screwed up today. I hate when work gets in the way of my fun. So anyway, guys, I hope you had a great week. We're going to get the show started. It is a big show for us tonight. We do a couple of shows every year. We have our Christmas show we do every year. We have our football training camp, which we're coming up in a couple weeks, which is also our anniversary show every week, every year. So we'll be celebrating 8 years on the 28th, and we'll also do our football training camp show on the same day. But tonight is another show we do yearly, and it's our Happy Birthday, Jeff episode, and we got a couple of guests tonight. Now, our big guest did not come through, and I'm very pissed off. I worked my ass off, called in favors, and we got blown off, and I am not happy about it. I'm not going to tell anybody who the guest is. I'm not even going to tell Jeff. I will not tell anybody who the guest is, but I am very upset about this. This was going to be huge for us, for Jeff. This would have been definitely top three or four for Jeff if I had landed this person. I thought I did. I did all the right things, and it didn't happen. So anyway, without further ado, I'm going to bring on the birthday boy. It's not really his birthday. His birthday is Sunday, but we're going to celebrate tonight. I got a couple videos to play. I had one. I did a whole video montage last night, came out great, and for whatever reason, I disappeared. I tried to put it back together real quick. I couldn't do it. I'm going to finish it, and I will play it on next week's show because I really had a fun time doing it. But let's get the show started. I'm going to do that by bringing on my buddy, the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour, and he's definitely the sexiest man on his side of the screen. He's the Pope, as he calls himself, and he's the birthday boy. Welcome to the Jeff Talwinski birthday show. What's up, Hefe?
What's going on?
A little rough start, but we're up and running. Jeff, I'll ask the question. How was your week?
Finally over.
Finally thank over?
God. Yeah, thank
yeah,
God.
Yeah, you had the whole holiday mix in there.
Yeah, I had to work the whole weekend and all this other shit. You know, just when your vacation has started for me, so that's cool.
Oh, that's right. You're now on vacation for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. Now, how much longer will you be doing weekends? Is that through the summer or is that for good?
I don't know, but, you know, I make extra money for the weekend, so I got to see. But it's still the idea that I got to work weekends. I hate working weekends.
I don't mind
doing Sundays, but it's Saturdays.
Yeah, and it takes away from time with your wife. I'm sure that's not always a good thing either.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes.
Well, I want to show you something. Speaking of my wife that she got me, she told me I have to wear it tonight.
Okay, what is it that you're wearing? We see something with a ribbon on it. I can't see anything else.
It says birthday boy.
Okay. Well, you are the birthday boy. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you and your wife this weekend. We're going to be getting together.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that very much.
Speak
so.
To her about what to bring. I told her to tell you not to bring anything.
All right. Well, I reached out to her about something else. I'll reach out to her again. But in the meantime, we're looking forward to coming out, spending some time with you and your lovely wife and hanging out. So that'll be this weekend. But in the meantime, we got a show to do. I got a few videos to play. I'm going to play one since Mike is up on the air here. I'm going to play a video now and then get my dad on. And he's come on this week, even though he was supposed to be away. I think he stayed around just to celebrate your birthday, if I'm not mistaken. So let me play the video first, Jeff, and then we'll get my dad on. Ready?
Okay.
What is going on? Mike, a.k.a. the Hemp Wizard, and
Joey Cook
from Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co., and we just want to wish our good buddy Jeff a happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. These guys are great, great products. They get their stuff delivered to you in a timely fashion. Stand behind these guys. We stand behind these guys. These are great people. First of all, great people.
Yeah.
Good friends. Without a doubt, man. Yeah. We are glad that we met you guys. Mike, you post some of the funniest shit all day long. For me to say that, that's big.
That is big.
All right? But two gentlemen, man, two absolute gentlemen. Thank you. I threw
the request up to the guys, and within minutes, I had a little video wishing you a happy birthday. So I'm glad that Mike and Joe over at Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. Again, like Jeff said, we haven't met them. We only know them a short time, but two nicer guys you couldn't ask for. And we totally, Hard Rock and Sports, stand behind our friends at Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co.
Definitely, without a doubt. Definitely. Thank you, Joe.
There you go.
Thank you both. And I saw the video, Joe. It was great.
So we got some more videos to play. I got one special one to play. We'll do it right after my dad. We got a couple of guests coming up at 7:30. So we'll get that. We'll play the video. Again, I did a whole Montage Jeff video. Came out friggin' awesome. I was so happy. I saved it. And now it's just basically disappeared. So I got to find it.
It's got to be in there somewhere.
No, I'll find it. And then I will definitely play on the next week's show. And I'll send it to Jeff privately if I can. But let's get my dad on. And let's see what he's got to talk about this week. Lots are going on in sports, guys. We've got Baker Mayfield finally gets traded. The Yankees are smoking at this point. Judge, a little bit of a lower back strain, but hey, kicking it last night. 16 runs for the Yankees last night. The Mets are playing decent ball again. We got some to talk about tonight. I would tell you that this might not be the longest show we've ever done. But we'll have some fun, and we'll have some friends on in a little bit, and we'll play some videos. Let's start with my dad, who always wants to check in, and let's see what he's up to. What's up, Pop?
Hello, Jeff. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Florio. How are you?
I know you're Sunday, bud. I canceled my trip to wish you a happy birthday. All right? I'm just going to – I don't know if you're aware that today – James Caan died.
Yes, I did want to bring that up. I have it in my notes.
And
go ahead.
I liked him as an actor, as a man, as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of respect for him. And I remember an interview he did with Michael Kay, and it was the funniest thing I heard. He said, they keep making me Italian of the year, and I keep telling them I'm not Italian. I'm Jewish.
Listen, the way he played that part in The Godfather,
yeah.
He went from Jewish to Italian that day, without a doubt.
Yeah, he said, I went there to get the award, and I told him, they said, you're the Italian of the year. He said, but I'm Jewish. But he said, I'll take it anyway.
It was you'd have a hard time thinking of anybody else who could have played that part. The only regret I have is that he wasn't in the movie longer, Jeff.
Yeah, I definitely agree to that. Unfortunately, there's probably extra footage of him around someplace.
I'm sure.
At this point in time, we probably will never get to see it. But he played a great part, even though he wasn't on for very long. And that one scene was absolutely legendary. Two scenes.
Which one?
The toll booth scene.
Okay.
And when he caught his brother-in-law.
Oh, he beat the crap out of him?
House, man. Just unbelievable scenes, man.
Yeah, he's a fun.
A lot of that he said was ad-libbed.
I would.
When he was with Michael and they were discussing killing the captain, a lot of that, the bada beep, bada boop, he had lived that.
He's
good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would have sat down and just watched them and listened to them talk about what they were going to get for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Al Pacino, Marlon Brando, James Caan, the rest of them, the whole entire cast. It's just, wow.
And he really didn't make a lot of money. He said he only made $35,000 for that movie.
Really?
Yeah, he said that's all he made.
Well, don't forget, they were. If you watch, there's a I won't call it a documentary. There's a movie that they've done on, I think it's on Netflix, but it could be on Amazon Prime, called The Offer, and it's all about the making of The Godfather. I've gone through some of it so far. I haven't watched it all. It's kind of slow. But basically, up until that point, they didn't want to make it. Then the gangsters got in the way. They didn't want them to make the movie. It was a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And basically, they had no budget to make it. So definitely a classic of all time and a great part.
Supposedly, that guy, Carlo,
who
everybody did dislike him.
Yeah.
He was the guy that had the connection.
Yes. Well, he was.
Frank Costello.
Yes. Well, he was. Remember when they, was it Costello who got shot at? Was it Costello who got shot
yes.
at? At the Italian American Festival. He was supposed
to. Columbo.
Columbo. Well, supposed to be there. That's Gianni Rizzi. I've tried to get him on the show because he tells some stories, boy, about Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys. Like, this guy's got either, he knows some stuff that nobody else knows, or he's completely lunatic. Because
I don't know
great
how
stuff.
Much that I
Johnny Russo, you mean, right?
Johnny Russo, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's,
he used to sing at the feast and roast every year.
I know you guys got things to do. You're ready for a show, everything. Jeff, just wish you were like a son, no matter what. Whatever you think, even if you thought I wanted to hit you with a belt.
Maybe you should have. Maybe I'd be in a better shape today. I don't know.
But wish you many, many more to you and your family. And Tommy, I hope to see you this weekend.
Yeah, I'll definitely see you over the weekend, Pop.
All right, good enough, guys. Take care now.
I'll see you soon.
All right, Pops. See you later. That's my dad. Checks in every week. He wanted to make sure that he got on tonight to say happy birthday to Jeff. So I'm glad he was able to do it. Yeah, he's funny. He falls a crack up. But yeah, Jeff, you know, James Caan died. And, you know, I was trying to think of another movie that I would say I watched with James Caan that I thought was a great, great movie. I saw Brian Song, you know, the story of Brian Piccolo. It was a good movie. I just not one of those movies I go watch a bunch of times. I never saw Rollerball. Did you ever see Rollerball?
No, I did not. And if I did, I don't remember.
Yeah.
The only other movie that I seen with him, it was the one where he was held hostage, which now I can't.
Oh, Misery. Misery.
Misery, yeah, which was.
I never saw that one.
You never saw that one?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. I can't even talk about that movie because it's a very suspenseful movie.
Uh-huh.
If I talk about any part of that movie, it's going to ruin it for you.
Okay.
All I could say is that this is definitely a movie that you need to sit and watch. I don't believe it's a very long movie.
Okay.
Once the movie gets going, you're not going to believe what happened. You're going to be like, every turn, you'll be like, holy shit. You know, and the one scene that when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, my God. But
yeah, I know of the movie. I know of parts of it. I've seen scenes of it. I just never sat down. I know that the theory behind it, I've just never have watched the entire movie. I've never watched the movie. So
it's the little things in that movie that, you know, like there's one scene where she realizes that he got out of the room, but yet he's trying to figure out, like, how did you know that I got out of the room?
Right.
And she says to him, I have a penguin outside. The penguin faces due east or whatever direction. And it was turned around and now it was facing due west. The penguin never faces due west. The penguin always faces due east. And then she just kind of like she would just snap, do shit. And then all of a sudden everything's okay again. And then like shit, it was just unbelievable. Wow. If you get the chance, then we'll check it out. You got to check it out.
I will put it on the list of things to watch. Like I told everybody, Terminal List. If you get a chance to watch the Terminal List on Amazon Prime, Chris Pratt is amazing. A little slow to start, but after about the second episode, you'll love it. So, yeah, I highly recommend the Terminal List. But, you know, as far as James Caan was, like, I was trying to come up with another one that I thought was, you know, good and I would recommend. And I didn't like – a lot of people love Elf. I didn't care for Elf all that much.
So that with Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I just have a problem with Will Ferrell. Yeah.
I don't like Will Ferrell.
Yeah, me too. You know, so again, I'm stuck with The Godfather. And then after that, I just couldn't come up with another James Caan movie that I would say, you got to go out and watch it. Now I'm sure there's something out there that I'm just not remembering. So, but I never saw Rollerball, so I can't put that one in there. So, but, yeah, Joe, watch the Terminal List. If you got time on a weekend or, you know, during the week and you want to watch something, 8 episodes, an hour each. Great, 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 great show. Great. I can't even tell you how good it was.
Did you ever see Chernobyl?
No.
I know it has nothing to do with James Caan. But that's one you got to check out if you get the chance. Man.
Okay.
Check out Chernobyl. That's pretty sick. First of all, read up a little bit about Chernobyl first.
Okay.
And everything that is in the movie is real.
Okay.
Like it's all based. It's not like somebody said, okay, let's make this movie. It's all based on fact.
Okay.
And it's just unbelievable. The actors that they get to play the people, because you don't know who these people were.
Yeah.
They look just like the people that were there and like the scientists and everything else.
Oh, wow.
They spent millions of dollars on old Russian vehicles so that they can make it as authentic as possible. I remember watching it, like 2-3 years ago. It was a great movie, man. Well, it's only five. It's a miniseries, but a five-parter. It's great.
I'll check it out. And, Joe, I tried to watch Ozark. It just didn't capture me. That's, if I'm not mistaken, Ozark, that's with Bateman, right? Is that with, not Justine Bateman, the brother.
Justin Bateman, right?
No, I don't think it's Justin. Justine is the sister.
Justine is the sister. Justin Bateman is the brother.
Yes. I tried to watch it. A little creepy. I got through the first two episodes, and I never went back to it. So always looking for good stuff to watch. I never take any more recommendation from my kids. They have the worst taste in movies. And music too, but that's a whole different thing.
How'd your son make out with that thing that he wanted to do? I totally forgot.
You know, again, he never brought it up again, and I guess I forgot that you forgot. So, I don't know.
Oh, great.
So, so far as I know, it's just sitting out there right now. So if you're thinking about it next week, let me know. No worries. He hasn't asked me for anything. Yeah. So we're celebrating Jeff's birthday tonight. It's not till Sunday, but I want to do it with the show. And I had a guest of all guests. And I'm never going to tell you who it was because you'll be Jason Bateman. That's it. Thank you, Pep Wizard.
What am I going to do? Draw a hissy fit?
No, it bothers me to no end that I
was he a musician or a sports figure?
Musician.
Musician?
Yep. And that's it. I'm like, anything more, you'll start to get it. So
it wasn't Tony Iommi. Thank you, Leonard.
No,
it wasn't
Iommi. No. No Sabbath guys. But
would he play guitar? Bass,
I'm not telling you anymore. So I reached out to friends, let's say, and they played intermediary. I filled out. I sent emails, text messages. I followed every rule. It was like trying to hire the A-team. You go to see Mr. Lee at the cleaners, and they send you to the coffee shop, and then you go to the pier, and I did all the stuff. I picked up all the trails and all the hints, and then I got stonewalled and got just pushed aside. I'm not happy about it.
You're gonna have to tell me.
No, I can't tell you.
One day you're gonna have to tell me.
Maybe someday. When I'm healed again, I'll tell you. I'm not healed.
Oh, heal fast. Get some Neosporin. Matter of fact, here. There you go, to heal that pain.
Hey, Leonard, how are you, pal? Thanks for stopping by. I wish you, Jeff, a happy birthday. And, again, thanks, guys. We appreciate everybody doing that each week. And we'll have some fun. I got a video to play, which I'm holding on to for another minute. I got a couple more videos, and we'll do some reminiscing. Let me ask you this question, Jeff. It's a good time to do it with being at your birthday. What is, when you think of our friendship, what's the first earliest memory you have of us?
Well, I remember the exact day we met.
Okay, so do I. We're at Brusco's house.
Brusco's backyard. Yeah. We were either playing wiffle ball or football.
Football. I believe it was football, yes.
And I remember playing in his backyard, and Jerry was like, "This is Tommy." And then me and you started getting along like instantly.
Yes.
And way better than you and him would get along.
Yes.
And, you know, listen, Jerry was Jerry.
Yeah, still is.
All these years later, I see that we are common friends with him on another platform.
Are we really?
On Instagram.
Oh, I didn't even know. I haven't been on Instagram in years, to be honest with you.
Well, I seen him like something of yours.
Oh, really?
Or whatever. And, I mean, listen, he never... He likes, no matter what I put up, he likes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't put up much or anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never tried to reach out to me and talk to me. Last time I spoke to him was sometime in, I think, 2007. And I was we were trying to get everybody together. And he was like the missing piece. And, I'm still waiting for him to call me back. But you know what? At this point in time, it's what difference. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
It was never called me. I would talk to him.
Sure. I never had a problem with the guy, to be honest with you. And I tried to have to maintain a friendship with him for a while. We had gotten to the point where he was basically living in my house. I mean, literally when I was married, just married. And for the first year, I mean, we worked together. We played ball together. When we weren't playing ball, he was over watching ball. All the time we hung out. And then I went to go work for the city, and that was the last day I ever saw him. Like, he just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Listen, you know, I mean, when your own brother says something about you,
No, listen, we're never surprised by that. He, you know, Jerry chased the tail, so to speak, And he was, if he got a girlfriend, you never saw him again. So that was well, that was Jerry's deal.
It's always better to be seen with a pretty girl than a bunch of ugly guys.
Agreed, but, you know, you still got to make a little time for the boys.
Balance there a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So, but, yes, that's where Jeff I met. That was sometime about February of 1980.
No. It was, look who it is.
Yeah, Mr. Talwinski.
There you go. And I don't know, Sharon. I don't know if you see him wearing the pin.
He's wearing the pin, Sharon. We will have a good show. Hey, Sharon, you can respond off the air, but please tell me what my wife and I can bring up for this weekend. So we're going to do something, so let me know what it is you'd like us to bring. And, yes, nice pen.
We met, it was in September.
Was it September?
Yes, it was September. I'll tell you what it was. It was September of 1981.
Okay.
You and Jerry had just started high school.
That's
true. I was already in my second year. I was a sophomore. We were playing – actually fucking around more so than anything in his backyard.
Yep.
And when we were playing, football, and I remember you had some McKee gear when you were on McKee jersey.
Probably, yep. I played football freshman and sophomore year, yep.
Yeah. And we were in the back and we were fucking around. But, you know, I got it straight for a second. As far as Brusco's backyard goes,
go ahead.
I used to love to play wiffle ball there.
Yes, of course, yes.
Because of the short porch.
It had the short porch, yes. It's very true. His backyard was a wiffle ball. We could play football back there. I'm trying to think what else we did back there. Besides drink, I remember that was one of the first places I ever drank.
Take stuff.
Yeah, take stuff, of course. That was good. Listen, you know what? For a bunch of guys who hung out on one block most of our life, we got a lot accomplished over there on all my plays.
You know, I don't know if you're ever on the island, if you ever take a cruise up that block, if you would even recognize it anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Has it changed that much?
Parking only on one side of the block.
Well, which is probably a good thing because it was...
Back when it was, when I was living there,
yeah.
You know, there was less cars. Now there's like 75 million cars on one side.
Oh, boy.
And it's dirty. It's nasty.
Are all the houses still there that were there?
Yeah, except for a couple of houses that were next to Kayaz's. A couple of those were cleared out. And,
New
houses were built. Kayaz's are all gone. I heard Pat died. John died.
Yeah, I know Pat died. I didn't know John died.
If there's any Kayaz's left.
Were there other Kayaz's besides the two of them? I know they had parents.
Dave,
and shit.
Mike. John, Pat, and it was James, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think his name was James. One of them, I don't want to say on the air how I think he died, but I heard he killed himself.
Oh, wow.
I don't know who that was.
Okay.
Mike, I don't know where Mike is. I haven't seen Mike. He used to work with Mike in Pathmark. Dave used to work for Pathmark, and then one day vanished. I haven't seen Dave since. We all know John,
yep.
And we all knew Pat.
Sure.
And then one day my mother told me, we heard Pat Kayaza died. And I had to ask Christine Pepe, because whenever I went by there, I would always see Pat got remarried for like the second, third, fourth time, whatever it was. And I saw his wife's truck there all the time.
Uh-huh.
But I used to see Pat by accident in Rosebank all the time, walking around and everything. And I don't know what happened to him. And you know, these are people that... You know, they were a little wacky and everything, but these were people you would see almost all the time. And
sure.
I just would love to know, what happened to Pat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, the one thing I always remember about Pat, he had a really cool record collection.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
You know, it's probably the first time I got turned on to, Vanilla Fudge and some of those other bands that I had never heard of before. You know, going from listening to Blondie and the Cars to Maiden and Priest, I kind of jumped over the shark. Of, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonard, I'd love to do that. We'll catch up with you over at Bella Beans and reminisce about the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a shame, man.
Yeah.
It has changed a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the neighborhood's the same. The people are gone. That's just the bottom line. The people are gone. The people we grew up, you know, seeing hanging on the corners or, you know, the Dave Casses of the world and the people, that you know you would see down at the Kaltenmeyer's, you know, waiting to get into a game or stand in front of Danny O's Pizzeria on a Friday or Saturday night, where you would see Mike Pepe and Christine Pepe and that whole crowd, you know, out there. So,
you know, it's amazing now because I used to like to go through Rosebank in the summertime when it's hot.
Yeah.
I remember always, like, because we were off in the heat and everything else, mm-hmm. and, you know, playing football and basketball and softball all day long.
Yeah.
And when I go down there, like, it still feels like the same heat from when I was a kid.
Mm.
Hot and, you know, just, like, still air.
Yeah.
But, like, even if you wanted to just walk up and down a block, it's so different. So completely different, you know? It really is a shame.
Yeah, it's just the faces are gone. You know, when you were a kid, when I walked to your house, I took the same route, and you see the same faces, you know, whether it was somebody's grandmother or parents or somebody you knew, and it was the same faces for years. And then one day you go down there, and it's like there's a whole different crowd in that spot, and it's just not the same anymore. I've done it. I've done the cruise through the neighborhood and check out some of the old places we used to hang out, and I'm like, wow, how different is this? Or, you know, what happened to that guy? So, you know, but first of our guests who've shown up, we're waiting on one more. In the meantime, I want to play your video, Jeff. You got a video from, I would say, somebody from one of your favorite bands has made you a video, and I'm going to play it for you right now. All right? And then we'll get to a couple of guys that we're friends with. So hold on one second.
Waiting to see who this is.
Yes, hold on.
Hey, what do you say? This is Bobby Blitz from Overkill. That's right. And welcome to the Hard Rock and Sports Show. This has been going on with two friends, Jeff and Tommy. You know it, and I know it. It's all about sports. It's all about the hard rock. It's all about the metal. It's all about Jeff's bass playing. It's all about Jeff being a Jets fan. Now, let me tell you something. The only green in New Jersey that's worth a damn is my green. That's Overkill. It's like a mixed marriage between you and Tommy, a Jets fan and a Giants fan. And every year, the Jets get everybody pumped up, and then halfway through the fucking season, they rip the heart of their fans out. So expect more of the same in 2022-23. But the real purpose of this message is that it's Jeff's birthday. He's turning 56. So he's going to play his bass on his 56th birthday. It must be the 10th of fucking July. And I'm here to wish you a happy birthday. I got this from your buddy Tommy, who you've known for all these decades. And I just want to say, bro, enjoy your day. Keep the sports talk going. Keep playing that bass. Keep listening to that Overkill. And good luck with those fucking Jets. You're going to need it. My name is Bobby Blitz, and I approve this fucking message.
There you go. So a little message for Jeff from Bobby Blitz. I know it's one of his favorite bands.
Can you send me that?
Of course I will absolutely send it to you.
That was cool, man. That was great.
Yes, that was very cool of Blitz. I'll let you know the secret. I can't hold it back. I got to tell you. The guy who was supposed to be on tonight, or I thought was going to come on tonight, was Didi Verney. Didi Verney, I got some friends involved. They went to bat for us, put a good word in for us. I sent emails, texts, the whole bit. And I thought it was a lock, and they went radio silent. So I'm very upset with it, but at least Blitz came through and sent you that message. Of course, I will forward that to you.
Yeah, listen, it is what it is. We hear things.
Yeah, listen.
But that was pretty cool, man. But listen, Bobby Blitz getting a message, a happy birthday from Bobby Blitz, man. That's no small feat, bro.
Nope.
That's great stuff.
Yep. So I will forward that over to you. I'll put that on Facebook for everybody to see later on. But we got two buddies on the line that want to wish you a happy birthday and hang with us for a few minutes. Hey, look, it's Joe Gandis popping up and saying hello.
Thank you, Joseph.
So again, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here on Thursday night. We're here every Thursday, 7 to 9:30, or until we run out of stuff to talk about. And, of course, we got our big anniversary coming up, July 28th. 8 years, Jeff and I celebrating what we do out here with our big spring, our training camp show. And we'll be, of course, we're here every week. We got plenty of stuff to talk about the rest of tonight and for the future. So stick around, check us out, and make sure you support all the guys who support us. And, of course, one of those guys, or I should say two, but one of those guys happens to be our buddy who we do our Sunday show with. It's on the Audible, and that's our good buddy, John Marhefka. And we're also going to bring on a guy who's also a big shot over at RFO Records and also a big deal at Barstool Talk. So let's get the boys on. Hold on. Where's Sean? And where's John? How come I can't get Sean? Where's
John? You lost John?
No, no, he's there. I'm just, for some reason, I'm not able to. Hold on. We don't do that. Oh, I got it. I'm sorry. I'm ridiculous right now. And there's John. So, boys, welcome to the show.
Look at this. He's got
hey, guys.
Fun. Thank you guys for coming on, man.
Jeff, very happy brilliant. Birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, he thank even you, wore the Jets stuff. I can't even
I
believe
it. I see that. It looks
good.
Look at it.
John, I got the 68 Jets hat on, too, bro.
Sean, you should have helped me out with the – there you go. There you go, Sean. Now we're talking. There you go.
There it is.
Somebody with some class on this damn show.
I got the mug, too, Jeff.
I'm not going to play tonight. I just did my hair, so I'm not going to put it on. Already,
yeah, I'm putting everything on here.
love you, Jeff. Happy birthday, bro.
Guys, thank you for coming on, man, and hanging out for a little bit.
I
love you, brother.
I certainly appreciate it. I think we do a quick roundtable. I know. Say again, Sean.
What was that?
I was just going to say, how cool was that to have Bobby Overton wishing you a happy birthday? Wow.
Yeah. Tommy got me a couple last year. He got me a couple wrestlers, Tito Santana and Jake the Snake Roberts. Tito Santana was, it was nice. It was cool. But you could see he was reading off like a card. And Jake the Snake Roberts, when the show was over, I had to take like 4 showers. I just felt violated because as creepy as he was in the 80s, is exactly how he is now. Like, he smells a cigarette.
Yeah.
Sweaty. Even
beer, cigarettes, and bad decisions.
Yeah. You know, like, what's that on the floor? Ooh, what the purpose at? You know?
Yeah, it's to me, it's the most fun thing when I can get people to give videos, and we did a bunch last year, and I had a bunch out this year, and I only got the one response from Blitz, the guys from Hemp Wizard, and I got one more to play before we're done and talk about it. But so guys, let's round table for a couple minutes. You guys got a few minutes to spare? I know Sean, you got a gig to play.
I think he's frozen.
I think Sean's
frozen. He's frozen, yeah.
Frozen.
It's good to see Sean. I haven't talked to Sean face-to-face in a while.
Well, hopefully he'll pop back up again. Hey, John, so listen, we got Sunday Audible getting ready to kick off in a few weeks. But, you know, in the quiet of June, we got ourselves a little bit of action, boys. We'll get more into it later on. But what did you guys think of Baker getting traded for basically a bag of – not even a bag of footballs. They got a bag of kicking tees.
John, go first on this one because I don't even know where to start. I have so much to say about that.
I know, and I'm waiting to hear it. So you better let me go so I can laugh the rest of the time. But, you know, it reminds me of I remember a baseball story like back in the early times of the game, the early 1900s, the guy got traded for a bag of fish. So I just, you know, that kind of reminds me of this right here. And you know, but it's cool to see you know, Baker finally get away from that mess. I mean, that was entirely too long for him to, you know, to be under that. You know, the guy had, you know, 2 seasons injury riddled, but he got that team to the playoffs. He changed the mentality of that team. Well, you know, with his play, he might not have been the greatest quarterback, but you know, the guy played hard. He played tough. You know, he made a difference for that team, and for them to cast him aside now for a you know, basically a I don't even know what they even call him.
A sexual predator.
Yeah. You know, he's probably not going to play this season anyway. So
yeah, which is the whole craziness part. Sean, are you there? Because he looks like he's posing for the either a mugshot. I see eyes blinking. That's about it, though. There it is.
It's like one of those paintings in a horror movie. The eyes move once in a while.
Oh, God.
So listen, I got to say, I didn't think they were going to get rid of him. And then he went from one situation where they're paying like $900 trillion for quarterbacks to another one where they're paying almost the same. And you know, money spent on the position, not what they're paying, because I know Cleveland is paying a lot of money for Baker Mayfield.
$10 million of the 15.
Yeah. But you have now the first and third pick in the draft just from 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
On your team. The only thing that separates them was Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I'm not Mayfield. I'm Saquon Barkley. Yeah. That was the only pick. It's just unbelievable. Well, I'm just saying
there
that.
There we go.
Imagine having two.
No.
Two of the top three picks are both quarterbacks are now on your team.
Oh, absolutely.
And neither one of them may be the answer. Just like the number two pick of the Giants may not be the answer for them as Saquon Barkley ever.
I'm gonna skip over that. You know,
he finds a way to work it in.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Sean Bell, the guy. I think he's having some mechanical difficulties over there. But let's try. I think he tried again. Let's see if Sean's officially back up and running there. Let's try that. Hey, Sean. He's having all sorts of technical difficulties. Sean.
There he is.
He moves. He doesn't move.
I don't know if he can hear us.
I don't know. Every once in a while. Hold on.
Bro, I don't know.
Sean? I think we're having some technical difficulties from the land of above us. Let's see if it gets worked out for Sean. Maybe he'll blink and we'll know he's there. Sean, we love you anyway. If you can't get through, we appreciate you trying, but give it a shot. Give it another minute. You know, the one thing, guys, out of this whole thing comes out to me, Cleveland has solidified themselves as the worst franchise in football, bar none. Worse than the Jets. And that's something to say.
Not for nothing.
Yeah.
You yourself said that the reason they gave him $1 million salary this year was because they were probably, and I disagreed with it at first, but now I'm on board, that they probably knew they were kissing him goodbye this year anyway. But I got to be honest with you. What makes you think that it's just going to be a one-year suspension and
no.
one and ten.
No, you're right.
Look, Aries, back. You're here again? Are you with us now?
Sean, he's got to stand, like, go stand in the refrigerator or something.
He's going to have to stand on a roof now.
No wonder you haven't talked to him in a while, John. The Wi-Fi don't work in Canada. Tell Trudeau to pay the bill.
Hey, guys, we got Sean on there right now, and I'll throw something in while he can't talk. But he's doing something with Westlake right now that nobody's announced yet or anything. But, man, this guy's fantastic on the track that they're doing. So, Sean, if you could hear me, man, it's excellent.
He's frozen again. Here he is.
There he is right there.
I feel bad. The guy's trying to get on the hang, and I feel bad.
I do, too. I try and hold it on to – But let me go back to my thought about Cleveland, guys. And the reason I say this is because, okay, so here's a team who overpaid for a quarterback that I don't feel is worth that kind of money or anything for. Gave him a guaranteed contract. Now, yes, Jeff, I agree with you. They played around with the money so that way, you know, by the way, they took a predator and helped him keep his money, just for the record, okay? So on top of that, they have no idea when he's actually going to play. They keep a quarterback on their roster. They have no intention of playing to try to hold out to get more for him, get next to nothing, if not nothing. I mean, the guy was a number one pick 4 or 5 years ago. He's been a starting quarterback in his league. He's not, you know, again, not the greatest one, but not an embarrassment. And you got a conditional pick in 2024 for him and then had to pay $10 million of his $15 million salary. Gentlemen.
Bad move on the Cleveland Browns part. And you know what else is a bad move? Signing. When are the women of Cleveland going to start marching on the stadium and demand that the Browns release Deshaun Watson? And don't you think if it would have been a smarter move, if you wanted to sign him for all of this guaranteed money, say, listen, there's going to be a shitstorm. We're going to sign you for $1 million, but we're going to revisit it next year, and, you know, once everything is cool, we're going to guarantee a lot of money, but we're doing this for you now, but you're in our plans and our future. You know, you don't think – I don't understand how women aren't fucking bombarding that team and
on
that stadium every day. I don't understand it.
I don't know. Unless they're just – it's not to that point yet. Don't forget, there's nobody there yet, so maybe they're waiting for them to show up for practice.
Tom, it's symbolic at this point in time.
I got you.
You've got a guy that has 25 counts against him, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yes, some of them were settled out of court. There's a few that are in court.
Some. 20 of 24 he paid to go away.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's still the court that there's, even if there's one left against him, there's still one there. And I personally don't understand how women aren't saying, you know, going and giving him shit that you signed him guaranteed money for all these years.
Right.
No, John, it's Jeff's got a great point. I mean, I don't know how he gets on the field at all ever. I mean, listen, Michael Vick got back on the field. You know, the only guy who hasn't gotten back on the field is Ray Rice. That's the only guy who has not gotten back. So.
What every single one of those guys did, Michael Vick could have bought a couple cases of dog food and signed them and raffled them off through the ASPCA, and people would have fucking fell in love with him. He may never be able to own a goldfish again, but they took him right back. Ray Rice was the first one. He was in a questionable position as it was. He was a running back. Because
mm-hmm.
look at Kareem Hunt came back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ray Rice was the first one, but Ray Rice's shot was absolute brutality.
Yeah. Well, so was Adrian Peterson. How did Adrian Peterson get back on the field?
Discipline.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think you really look at it is what is the status of these players. You know, Adrian Peterson was a very well-liked player before that happened. So it kind of seems like they kind of glazed over that a little bit, which is crazy. But yeah. Ray Rice, they were going to let him back in. They were going to give him a slap on the wrist.
Yep. The video.
Until the NFL came back and said, hey, we didn't see the whole video.
Yeah.
Which I think is total bull. They definitely saw it.
Sure they did. It just got out. Everybody else got to see it. Everybody else got to see it. That's why Ray Rice, because you see him punch his wife in the face like he's punching a man.
Punch her in the face. Dude, he lifted her off the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the woman still can't say the letter Q and a few others anymore the right way.
Yeah.
The way he rearranged the jaw.
But, you know, I mean, but you got to go to Cleveland at this point, and you got to question. You know, here's a franchise who, since they've been back, you know, return to the league, have had numerous coaches and quarterbacks. But the way they've handled this whole thing with Mayfield and then signing Deshaun Watson for the contract that he did, based and not knowing what's going to happen to him. I mean, this guy, Jeff, to your point, he may never play again. He may play 2 years from now.
Listen, who knows? You know, this doesn't look like it's going away soon, and the lawyers for the women want all of the records from the NFL and their investigation into this.
Yeah.
So think of that. This isn't going away. And for them to say they want, if they give that information to them, this guy may never escape this. And Cleveland gave up all of those draft picks, all of that money. What happens? Can they void that contract? Is there any kind of clause that they can void it? That, you know what I mean?
Suppose he's fully guaranteed, but he does. There is a morals clause in most contractors. In most contracts, sorry.
Because I mean,
what I've heard, they can't.
Okay, it's possible. Yeah, really?
They've looked into it. Now I'm not. I'm just going by what I've heard on the NFL site.
Yeah.
Cleveland actually looked into it. Looked into voiding the contract.
I don't know if it was so much Cleveland. I think somebody, one of the attorneys brought up the question that is this something that they can void out the contract? But they said that that there's nothing that they can do in there to make that happen. But like I said, I don't know. I'm just going by what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, we break each other's polls about the Jets and the Giants and some of the teams out there. But I have to tell you, when I look at Cleveland, I'm going, this may be the worst. This may,
John sits there and laughs at this. That's because he goes unscathed and nobody says anything about the Steelers.
Well, it's hard to. They at least don't lose every year.
I said something about that hat the other day. Yeah. Mustard yellow hat.
Hey, guys, don't forget the Sunday Audible. We're returning soon. And I believe we're targeting July the 30th as our opening day show. Now, the time of the show, day of the show, I don't know. It's going to work around Jeff's schedule, so maybe an afternoon show. It could be an evening show.
That's the day of the big barbecue, man.
Oh, that's right. That is the day of the big barbecue.
Thank God it ain't the 31st or the 1st, whatever.
All right, so we'll probably have to get the show in the morning. So that way Jeff won't have to worry about Jeff being drunk for the later part of that one. But, yeah, we'll open up.
We're going to be in Staten Island on July 30th, man. You're more than welcome to come by. Just let us know.
We're going to be out that direction in August. I mean, we'll be at the beach.
Where beach you going?
End of August.
What beach you going?
We'll be at Dewey Beach, so we're or at least in the general area.
Yeah, it's a little far out, but yes.
It's far enough, but yes.
But yeah, so July 3rd, the Sunday Audible will return. I think we're going to be every week after that, but certainly we'll be semi-regular at the very least. And then, of course, with opening day, I believe September the 10th or the 11th, we'll be opening up that weekend as well. And so look out for the Sunday Audible. Go to SundayAudible.com to get more information on the on all of our shows. And, of course, to find a link to the Fanatics website where you can go buy all your NFL gear. And then it helps us, too. They recognize us. So make sure you go ahead and check all that out and get ready for a lot of different stuff coming up during the year from Sunday Audible. But, Johnny, I as bad as Cleveland might be, you know, I have to put the Panthers in there as well. I mean, their coach is on the hot seat. They got two quarterbacks worth, you know, $20-something million that we're not sure either one can play. Boy, I tell you, it's going to be an interesting time. And Cleveland and the Carolina Panthers open up against each other this year.
It's a disaster. I mean, what if Mayfield would go up against, what if Deshaun Watson plays? What if Deshaun Watson plays and Carolina has Mayfield starting and Carolina blows him out?
Oh, man.
Can't wait. See you this far. Can't wait.
Oh, my God. Are you still playing that? Are you kidding me?
That's the way it is this year, man. I can't wait. That's the catchphrase
for this year. By the start of week two, it's going to be, all right, it's over. We're playing for, we're tanking for Sam again. We're tanking
please,
again.
Please. Not believe it. Stop.
One week.
Yeah. Stop. One weekend, we'll be praying.
Stop. He's got a lot to be excited about, though. I mean, I have to admit that.
But what? They got new footballs? Did they bring in a new batch of footballs? But what are you excited about?
You have a new coaching staff come in.
A quarterback who's
coaching staff, and they say, we're not going to pick up your fifth-year option because we want to see how you play.
Yeah.
That is the fucking ultimate kiss of fucking death.
No, it's
the ultimate kiss of death.
Smart business. It's better than drafting the guy who's playing George Michael in the next Wham video.
Please.
Oh, my God.
The banana peel over the cliff is what it is.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Let's get a guy who, at best, wears his headband good enough to be in Wham. Please stop with your quarterback. Oh, my God. Oh, I get messages all over the place.
Are you done?
But I think Sean popped up. Let's try Sean one more time. I see him moving, so let's get him on quick. There he is.
There he is.
Sean boy.
To the internet, man. I don't know what to tell you.
There he is.
You guys still got dial-up up there or what, man?
Yeah. I had to change the hamster in the wheel there.
Yo, listen, tell Trudeau to pay the bill, man. We got a better service up there.
Yeah, at least for Sean. I mean, you know, he needs to single them out and just take care of this guy.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got important things to do.
Hey, that's right.
Sean, thanks for being persistent. We love it. Hey, I don't want to talk to you, man. So, you know, what I've been following, and I want to get off the sports a little bit, this whole concert series with Motley Crue and Poison and them, you know, there's a lot of breaking down going on in that camp. Tommy Lee's missed some shows with some bad ribs. I think the Poison set had to be shut down early. Something with Breck Michaels. You know, is it the geriatric tour? What's going on with these
what
bands?
What is the average age of every member in this band? It's got to be over 60.
I don't think so.
Right near 60.
Yeah, I would think.
Tommy Lee's 59. All I can say is I've played with broken ribs before, and it's not fun because there's nothing you can do to get comfortable. It's hard to breathe. You know, but I did it when I was like 47. I didn't do it when I was 59, so I can sympathize. I mean, it's tough. You know, and then when you get a guy like, Tommy Caputo's that go out and kind of mop up for you, that's not a bad thing for the fans to see, right?
No.
You know.
Not to see him play with Sabbath.
Yeah.
He blows Tommy Lee out of the water. Blows him out
He's
of the
incredible.
Water.
Oh, yeah.
My only thing that I've been seeing a lot of footage and the Motley show, I mean, and I know that like they have a lot of tracks and stuff. One of my guitar players in one of my bands did a tour with them when he remains the story of a dead man, and they use a lot of tracks. Their tracks seem to be slow. I don't know if it's because they're trying to, you know, keep up. The show seems a little sluggish, but I mean, they're Motley Crue and I'm not, so what can I really say? You know what I mean?
Still the worst band I've ever seen live. I like Motley on record. The first couple albums are great. There's a couple of things later on, but Jeff and I saw them in their prime, and they could.
Shout at the Devil.
Yeah, right? No, it wasn't Shout at the Devil.
No, it was the third album.
Yeah, it was the Theater of Pain. They had Loudness opened up for them, and I wished Loudness would have played two sets because Motley was horrendous.
What's really funny, right, is like when you're at their level, it's almost, I don't want to say you get a free pass, but I mean, sometimes you play and it's like, you know, and they know the shows aren't great. You know, I'll go up to my local club and play, and if I don't hit everything bang on, you know, everybody kind of get their arms crossed and making fun of me, and they seem to get a pass. You know, by the same token, I mean, you know, Nikki's what, 63, 62? Mick's got to be 800. The over-under, if you guys remember, the over-under was how many shows does Vince make?
Yeah.
And it seems to be holding his own now. Does he sound amazing? He sounds like Vince Neil, right? But, I mean, who would have thought that, you know, he would be the one that isn't breaking down, right?
Yeah, but I got to tell you the truth. Right. First of all, listen, I'm still pissed off that they came back. Now, again, I could care less. They could play to their 400 like they're Rolling Stones, and I could care less. But I hate when these bands go out, they make a big deal, we sign a contract, and then they go, oh, we're going to come back and play. That annoys the shit out of me. But come back and play well, do the right thing. It just doesn't seem like it's going extremely well. And I'm just seeing Leonard says that the Ace Frehley ended his tour, canceled all future shows. I'm a huge Ace guy. But boy, Ace hasn't sounded like Ace in 100 years.
I'm friends with Matt Starr that plays drums with him, and Matt's awesome, man. You can find him on Instagram, and he's incredible. What I saw, his band sounded fantastic, and even Ace, you know, sounded great to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, and then you hear Whitesnake canceling a whole year for tour. I just think that you know, our heroes are getting old. You got to face it, right? It's just simply the way that it goes, and. I'd like to remember them as they were. I mean, I think it's kind of a little bit sad sometimes to see what's going on with some of them. But, if that's it for Ace, that's too bad because, you know, he was a big part of my growing up, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
The big part of it is that these people charge these astronomical monies for the seats.
Yeah.
Looking to put people in. And I was, my birthday's coming up on Sunday, and my wife asked me what I wanted for Christmas, for my birthday. So I was looking around at concert tickets. And the only concert I was even interested in was Alice in Chains. And I'm looking at the tickets, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me, $400-$500 for a seat that's nowhere near up in the front. And you're not even getting a free soda with this.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Now, Alice in Chains, I understand, is a bigger band than, say, Ace Frehley. But, I mean, you know, you got Joan Jett, Def Leppard, Poison, and Motley Crue. I wouldn't want to go see any one of them, but God only knows what some of the people are paying for that seat.
Oh,
they got to be paying $1,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
If you take your wife or girlfriend or your two friends are going, think of the money that you're spending. You didn't even get there yet.
Yeah.
And the money you're spending. Who could do that? Who could afford that?
Yeah, listen,
one show all year because of those prices.
But you know what I can't figure out, guys? Right. You know, and Sean, you're right. But how are, like, I saw Kiss, and I'm sure there's some tracks going on, but Kiss did a nice job. I saw Maiden not too long ago. They're still knocking it out of the park. You know, how are those bands doing it, and these guys can't do it the same way anymore? You know, that's the part I can't figure out. Yeah. You know, by the way, the Yankees, holy cow, they just had a grand slam by Josh Donaldson. And right behind him, Aaron Hicks just hit a solo shot. Yankees up 5-0 in Boston. Big weekend for the Yankees. Try to put this whole thing away in July. But guys, yeah, I mean, John, you know, how does, you know, Kiss still go out there and do it? Now, listen, again, are they playing? Are there some vocal tracks? Maybe there's a guitar track covering up Stanley. I don't know, but they out there doing it. World tours, and they make every show. And these guys are 10 years younger, and they can't play full shows anymore.
You know what, Tom? It's the Kiss thing is a stage show.
Yeah, but okay, but they're still out there. I got it.
I understand that, but you know what? When you're mimicking, you know, before you know that guitar, they maybe hollowed out the guitar. He's not even playing it.
I'm not buying that. I'm not buying a total mimic thing. I'm not buying that. I'm not telling you there's not a vocal track or.
You don't know.
No, I got it. I don't. But John, you know, why does Kiss and Maiden and somebody, the Rolling Stones, they're 103 years old. They don't know. They haven't stopped yet. They haven't stopped touring. They'd be dead. They realize they really died 20 years ago.
I think it just shows that, you know, everybody's different. And how do these guys take care of themselves at certain times in their life? You know, that's really the main thing. I mean, the band that I bring up still sounds awesome. And you mentioned a few. Maiden still does. You know, Kiss still brings. But Y&T.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever heard Y&T live now, I mean, Menichetti sounds just as good, if not better, than he did back in the day. And I think it's just really how these guys take care of themselves. What kind of lifestyle they live. I mean, especially after 40, what they've done. And Motley Crue, I mean, you know what they did back in the day, the ultimate party band. But, you know, these guys, you know, they haven't played together at least for a long time. I mean, to get back together and do this tour, you know, and to be in that stage, you know, I see that's why there's some let up there. And same with Poison.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, when did you ever think, Sean, you're going to have to go – and pay, you know, one price to see Poison, Motley Crue. Who else is on that tour? Joan Jett.
And Def Leppard
all in one show in order to be able to sell out an entire building.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the other thing too is, and this is from personal experience, you know, I have to practice every day. I get to practice. And Jeff, you would know this. You play bass. I mean, you know, the fingers don't move around. I mean, you know, my recovery time from a show is a lot longer than what it used to be. And if I choose to still play at a high level, I've got to do the work. And I'm not saying they're not doing the work, but I mean, it's tough when you have their, you know, new lifestyle where, you know, there's all kinds of fun playing and different sorts of things. You get sidetracked, you get distracted. It's harder to do that. And let's face it. I mean, yeah, they're at a point in their lives where, you know, their motivation is probably different. They're not worrying about the young kids sniffing at their heels because they're still successful.
Right.
For me, you know, I'm still, and I talk with Westlake about this all the time, I'm still worried about what, you know, the boys in Ohio and LA are doing. I'm not, you know, necessarily caring what's going on in my own backyard. And I think the motivation might be a little bit different. And, you know, the body's only so willing, right? Like Neil Peart had to retire because his body gave out on him. You know, so what they're doing, people don't understand. It's a full contact, high level sport. And if you don't treat your body right, like John said, it ain't going to work for you, right?
No, but you know something, you're 100% right. I agree with everything you said, because now when I play a show, which unfortunately is not as often as it once was, you know, I don't even want to look at my stuff for a couple of days afterwards. I just leave it off in the back. I barely get it in the house. But when you're talking about a band like Motley Crue and Def Leppard, who Motley Crue, for example, and Poison more so, these are bands we heard stories that these guys hate one another and they don't want to even be in the same room with one another. But, you know, I guess when you spend all your money on hairspray, cocaine and hookers, you know, you got to make some money. You got to live somehow for the next 30 years and you know, and have something. So you're
not supposed to do that, Jeff?
I didn't get no cocaine, hookers, nothing, unfortunately. Not with the money we were making. I got maybe a beer or two. That was about it. But, you know, it is what it is. These guys probably don't want to put in the effort. Why should they? They're going to make the money just off of the name of the tour alone. Def Leppard, you really think Def Leppard has to play with one another? And let me ask you guys this. Do you even want to hear new music from Def Leppard, or would you rather hear a night of Def Leppard playing all the old stuff, the classics that you know for years? Def Leppard to hear their new music?
What's the worst line ever you can ever hear at a show from a nostalgic band? This one's off our new album.
There you go.
Right.
I had a talk to somebody at work today about the Rolling Stones, and we were talking about it. He goes, well, I go see the Stones in a minute, and I was like, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, would you want to go see the Stones with them playing no music, you know, new music? And he was like, no, absolutely not. I want to hear the classic. That's what I want to hear. And I'm like, there you go. That's where our music is at this point in time. These guys have to record another album. Just don't forget the stuff you know how to play. You know?
That's the reason why nothing moves, too, Jeff, on radio and other outlets, too, because, you know, the big time radio stations, the iHeart stations and stations like that, they only want to play the classics. You try to invite new music into that groove, it's almost impossible unless you're paying millions of dollars to get it there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason that the music is where it is right now. Nobody's moving anywhere. They want to hear the classics. They want to go to shows and hear the classics. And I'm with you. I don't want to hear new Def Leppard stuff because it's not even close to what
you're doing. I'll disagree with you guys a little bit. I don't want to hear new Def Leppard stuff because it's not very good. There was some stuff. You know, right. Skid Row did a few albums not too long ago. The last three Accept albums were probably the best three Accept albums I've ever heard. Blind Rage, Stalingrad, you know, those albums with Mark Tornillo are almost as good as some of the old stuff.
Some good stuff.
Yeah.
Right. You know what, Tommy? That's right. Fair ball because I heard the new Stryper tune, and that new Stryper tune is – I'm a huge Stryper fan, and I was just like, oh, this should be good. Because, you know, again, I'm a bit of a homer when it comes to that band. I'll give them props when I probably – I heard that song, and I was like, this is the best thing they've done.
Let me tell you something. His last solo was incredible. His last solo album was great. So there is good music. Right. The problem is there isn't enough people who give it a chance anymore for whatever reason, Jeff, and I think you're right.
That's not true, Tom. That's not true because I worked with a guy just maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, and he was about 30, 31, 30, something like that at the time. And I was turning him on to old music from the 80s, and he was letting me hear some new music. And he let me hear bands like Park Drive North or Parkway North, whatever the fuck, Park Drive North, I think they were, and a couple other bands. And I was like, this all sounds the same.
Yeah.
Did you change the music? What are you talking about? And he's getting all hyper. What are you talking about? That sounds great. And he's like, everything for you is Black Sabbath. I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking cool. Everything you're playing sounds the same. Even the different bands sound the same. They sound like there's no distinction between them. When you heard Maiden, you knew it was Maiden. You knew it was Van Halen. You knew it was Priest. You knew it was Def Leppard. You knew it was Saxon. You knew it was Black Sabbath. You knew it was Ozzy. Now it's like I could put one band on and be like, is that Slipknot?
I agree with you, Jeff, on some of the new bands that are out. There's no distinction. I'm not disagreeing with that. There are some good new bands out, and you want to check out some really good new bands, go to rforecords.com. There's a lot of great bands out there to listen to. What I'm talking about is, you know, I know that a lot of people want to go to Accept and they want to hear Balls to the World and Fast as a Shark and all of that. But I would rather hear stuff off those last three albums, but not everybody's the same way. And I agree with Sean. Stryper's last album was great. I didn't hear the new stuff, but and then Michael Sweet's, his solo album was off the charts. It was so good. But
look, I want to ask you guys each a question. I want you to all answer. Name the last album that you guys heard within the last 5 years that you could say, like, wow. Doesn't matter if it was a new band or an old band. What is the last new album that you guys got that you were like, wow, this is now in rotation in my collection?
I've got the 40th anniversary of Scorpions Blackout on vinyl.
Oh, great stuff.
Okay, but that's a great album.
Great album.
I am, outside of the guys in RFL, and I'm saying this straight up, and not because I'm a corporate sellout, but I'm not one of those guys that I'm saying that with my Molson Canadian. But there's not a lot of new stuff that I hear and I like, and there's different reasons for it. The guys and gals in RFL are amazing, but I'm starting to get into a little bit of a bubble with some of the stuff that I'm doing myself, and I'm kind of trying to not get new influences in. I like the old influences I grew up on, and that's so. I'm a throwback, man. Scorpions Blackout. Now, I only got that 2 months ago.
And even though it's a great album, it's still an old album.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that it's new. Huh, what about for you? What is new for you that...
Oh, boy. John would probably be better at this than me, but...
I got a few, guys.
Go ahead.
The last Alice in Chains album, Rainy of Fog. That is probably the best album that I've heard in the last 5 years from, like, any band that I could say, like, new album, Rainy of Fog. Other than that, I haven't heard anything that caught my ear. Nothing.
Are we talking about old bands releasing new stuff?
Yes.
Or are we talking about good albums?
All right,
just a new album that's come out that you say, wow, that's great stuff.
Well, I could bring up two right now. Heat Heat 2. You guys know who Heat is over in, you know, Swedish band. I mean, just awesome. And I think, too, after they got rid of Eric now, Eric's in Skid Row now. But, you know, I thought that he was a better fit with Heat. But, I mean, if you listen to that album, I mean, it's better than their old stuff. I mean, it's like the band, you know, progressed all the way, and then they hit this peak here with two. And then, you know, I mean, I kind of got to bring this up a little bit, but, you know, we got James Durbin coming on the show next week.
I saw that.
On the podcast with an album from a band, you know, that he put together, a project called Clean Break, the Coming Home album. And if you guys listen to this, this is some big time stuff. And he's got Perry from Striper, ex Firehouse, on bass. And he's got Robert Sweet on drums from Striper. You know, he's got some really good ties. He's got the guitarist from Fighter V. You know, but if you listen to that album right there, I mean, you hear, you know, the tie back to the classic and the connection there. So that's one I heavily recommend. So there is good stuff out there, guys. You know, like all of you said, but I think really what it is, it's people willing to give it a chance, like Tommy said.
Yeah.
You know, it's people that are basically, you know, just they're stone heads, they're cement heads when it comes to this. You know, they need to be able to listen to these bands.
They're cement heads because the next Maiden and Priest and Black Sabbath and all these other bands is not there. They're
right.
Not there. I don't care what anybody says. There's nobody that grabbed the torch and took it. Nobody.
No.
There is no more guitar hero. Dimebag Darrell was the last guitar hero. He's gone. You know, who's the next one up? Zach Wilde?
No.
I'll be honest with you guys. I get a little... like, I see some of these young players coming out now where they're, you know, they're on video and they're flipping their hair and they're doing all that stuff. And I had a post a while back. It was a video of Robert Sweet in 85. Robert Sweet did it in 85 and I did it in 91. So 2022, it's not that. And it's like dealing with, and John, we both know this, you're dealing with some of the younger, not you, like they know everything there is to know about music, we're just old farts. And so my opinion of some of it is a little tainted because it's like, you know, on this call right here, there's a ton of experience that they might not listen to. Right. You're right there, Jeff. I don't see the next Maiden coming out. I don't see the next, you know,
no.
You remember when the London Choir Boys came out, we went, oh my God, that's Small Faces. Right. You don't get that vibe right now.
No, there's nobody else. It's nobody, you know, these bands used to have stage outfits. And you know, you would see Maiden in their street clothes and then their stage clothes. Same thing with Priest. Now these new bands, they look like they just rolled out of bed. They grab whatever shorts were there. You know, they got sneakers on, no tops, and they all look the same. They got the baseball hat on backwards, short hair.
Yeah.
They just jump around in the same spot. They all move the same way. And it's just, it's sad. It used to be such a genre of music, and it's slowly dissipating, and that's how I feel.
Yeah. I'm doing a show on Saturday night. I'm on a break, and I'm sitting down, and I'm talking to this guy. And the show was up in Cape Breton, which is 5 hours from where I live. And this guy comes up to me. He goes, you guys are a good band. You look like a band. He goes, I went to Halifax, and I saw some band. I couldn't tell if they were the band on stage or the guys eating chicken wings in the crowd. And he was basically saying, he walks in to see a show, and the dude that's eating the wings, you know, puts the wet nap and gets up and plays guitar. And he was saying exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. No, it's tough. It gets Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff and Tom here celebrating the big Jeff birthday show. Still got a little bit of time, and we're joined by our good buddies, John Marhefka and Sean McKenna. So thanks to them for popping up and giving us some time. But, yeah, guys, I mean, listen, I think a lot of that is the case of how you present yourself out there as the band. And, you know, Jeff, to your take on Kiss, it is about the stage show. You want to go there and see that stage show. You go to see Maiden, you want that stage show. And
Maiden is not about the stage show as much as Kiss is.
I agree
with
you.
They're about a stage show, but they're also about the musicianship of the band.
Yeah.
And they always put out a good product, Iron Maiden. It's just the problem with Iron Maiden is their product is old and it's kind of outdated. And now they keep putting the same shit out. I don't want to go and hear a 14-minute song.
Oh, I agree with that.
I'd rather hear three other songs instead of that one.
I agree, but to your point, most time you go to a Maiden show, they do two tours. The tour they're on now, they're playing one or two or three songs from the new album, and all a classic set. The next time they'll come back in 2 years, they'll play just a complete classic set, no new material. That's why they've been doing it for the last 10 or 15 years, and I've seen a bunch of the shows. You know, I'd rather see the ones where they're playing the classic set, you know, and then you get the different songs, and, you know, it's always the case. But, again, the conversation is there is – let's take the new bands out of it. Let's say that a lot of the new stuff is not for everybody. I get it. There is a lot of good stuff the last 10 or 12 years from older bands who put out good music. And, I'll go back to the Striper. Skid Row put two or three albums in a row that were really good albums, but nobody paid attention to it. I don't know why.
I'll tell you why nobody paid attention to it, because they don't have the same thing that a lot of these other bands had. They don't, whether it's the backing from the record companies, the fan base, the catchy hooks, whatever they are. Iron Maiden put out The Trooper. Let me ask you something. If Skid Row put out The Trooper, would Skid Row have had the same success with the song The Trooper that Iron Maiden would? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
I think for me, for Skid Row, I think the newer stuff is good, but it's still not Sebastian on vocals.
That's a big part of it, too.
It's kind of like an actor, too. Some of these actors, you want to see them not play like a tough guy actor playing some kind of dramatic role or some in a love story.
Yeah,
that's what you don't want to see. You have them categorized in a certain way, and that's the way we want to see these guys.
Hold on, Jeff, before you go. But, Sean, to John's point, it's a good one. When I root for a baseball team, I'm rooting for the sweater, or I'm rooting for my favorite hockey team. I'm rooting for the sweater, and whoever happens to be in that sweater, I'm going to root for. But it's different with a band. To Jeff's point, if Iron Maiden came around and Steve Harris wasn't in the band, I'm not going to see Iron Maiden. So I think that's a tough part for people nowadays is a lot of these bands we're talking about, John brought up, Skid Row, no Sebastian Bach. It's hard to root for these bands. Jeff and I are big Queensryche fans. Jeff Tate's not there anymore. Half the band's not there anymore. Sean, I think that's a bigger problem than the music itself.
It is, and anybody that's playing the band will know it's, 90% of it is dealing with drama and personalities, right? I've played with people who are amazing musicians that are an absolute pain in the ass, and I've played with people who are terrible that are the best people to work with. I've yet to find that sweet spot where they're just okay. And they're
Does that exist?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But, if you take – so you mentioned Queensryche, you mentioned Skid Row. I saw Queensryche open for Priest about a month and a half ago. They were incredible. And I know it wasn't Jeff Tate. That guy, Todd LaTorre.
Oh, I saw him. I saw him a couple years ago. Great.
Fantastic. Skid Row, I don't have any insight. I kind of do. A friend of mine is friends with Scotty, and that ain't ever happening.
No.
It does all buy you guys beer. But if anybody knows Sebastian or knows people who know Sebastian, he's an amazing talent who's a lot to be around. He always has been. He always will be. He's another proud Canadian, but I know this for a fact, and I just think that the boys from Jersey, they want to live a peaceful life and have fun, and it ain't going to happen with Sebastian, so you're just going to have to take Skid Row as they are right now.
Yeah, but I think it's more about, Jeff, the you can't root for the sweater, I don't want, there's been a rumor for years that KISS, the management, the KISS, the two main guys felt that when they're done, they could dress up any four guys as KISS and put them out there and be KISS. And to me, it could never be that way.
Why? They're doing it now. They're doing it right now.
No, it's different.
They're doing it right now. Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley are not there.
I got it. It's still Gene. It's still Gene and Paul.
It is still Gene and Paul. But you want to know something? In 15 years from now, 20 years from now, it's liable to still keep going, because people are going to see KISS. Like you said.
I got it.
People like the Yankees. Mickey Mantle retired, Reggie Jackson
retired.
Yeah,
it's different. It's different. It's different in music, Jeff.
It's different.
No, if you went, if they came back tommorow with Black Sabbath, but Tony Iommi was not there as a guitar player, is that Black Sabbath? It's not.
No, it's not.
Okay, and most Sabbath fans would blow that off, then would go to that. I'm not disagreeing with you that there may be some instances where it happened, but look at Quiet Riot. It was huge for years. They're back up. They're still playing. There's not one original member.
No, I know.
So
it's like this, Tommy. An hockey analogy. Toronto Maple Leafs has not won the Stanley Cup in any of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Right? 67 was the last time they won.
Yeah.
I lived in Toronto for 7 years.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Right? I'm not even a Leafs fan, and I'll say this. I lived in Toronto for 7 years, mm-hmm. and basically, if I had season tickets and gave them up, there'd be 15 people that would snap them up
100%.
For a losing team.
Right.
Right? So it's like, I get what you're saying, but unfortunately, what's going to happen? And I think Hiss is going to do that. I think you're going to have a... You know, an alive set, you're going to have a live two set, you're going to have the, you know, the non-makeup use. There's going to be five or six different things going out there, like Cirque du Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still going to buy into it. Well, you and I don't know. That's our...
I agree with that. I've gone to see a bunch of different... Yeah, I've gone to see a bunch of Beatles tribute bands, let's call it. You want to call it a Kiss tribute band, and you want to have them roll out there with the makeup and stuff, with all the pyrotechnics? Okay, fine. But it's still a Kiss tribute band.
They sell fucking Kiss air guitar strings, bro. They sell Kiss air guitar strings. They are going to do whatever it takes to keep the money rolling in. And if it means that they get a bunch of hired guns to put on makeup and run around like they do, and it makes them money... They're not going to care about the you know, malcontent fans such as yourself that won't go see it, because there's going to be 100,000 other people behind you. But like, I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to see what it's like, because it's like listening to the CD in your car. You put it on. It's not really Kiss, but you're listening to their music. It's somebody playing. It could be anybody.
No, but I got it. I just don't see them putting that out that Kiss is still playing. I can't imagine it at that point.
What's great about Kiss, though, is they've built a brand.
Yes.
And that's a brand that's so identifiable that you just say, look, you know, we know the music already. We know what this band is. You know, and really, if you could get a guy up there, I think Paul Stanley's loss would be the worst because of, you know, just the voice and everything. I think a P would go. But if you got a guy that at least resembled him a little bit, you could disguise in the makeup that sounded like him, I think people would still go see it. You know, long after we're gone, I think that brand is going to carry on, and we're seeing it with, you know, the way the clubs do things now. They don't want to bring in original music because it doesn't bring people in. They want to see the Poison tribute, the Kiss tribute.
Yeah, I agree with. I agree with you on that. Yeah,
it's killing the music scene right now.
Absolutely.
But it ties back to what Jeff said. Nobody is taking that flag and taking over where these other guys were. Nobody is even close to that level right now, or even coming close to that level. So we need to see some bands step in and take the flag, you know, for the music that we love and to carry it into the next generation. It's not happening.
All I know is I wasn't expecting to come on this show tonight and hear Jeff were to use like malcontent.
Me either. Anything over two syllables and his head starts to shake. So, you know, when he starts getting three or four syllables in a word, I start to see him do this. It's scary.
You don't want to listen.
It's like he's having a stroke.
But it's there. You know, I had to learn a Foreigner song for a band that I was in not too long ago. I had to learn Dirty White Boy. And I'm like, I tried to listen to other Foreigner that wasn't just radio stuff. And I just couldn't do it. It's not enjoyable. It wasn't fun. And I'm like, I like the radio stuff. And then I came across a live video of Foreigner from 10 years ago. And it wasn't the original singer. And I'm like, well, let me give this a go and see what it sounds like. And they found a singer that sounded just like the original singer.
Kelly Hansen.
Whoever his name was. So it really did not matter who was playing the music. Because the singer, that's what everybody wants to see with Foreigner. It was the original guitar player, which was like the only guy left. I think it was James Kodak from Kingdom Come, Jeff Pilson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who the other guys were. And it didn't matter because the music sounded okay, but the vocals were dead on. They found somebody that sounded just like it. And that's why they were selling out and were able to keep touring, because they were able to find one key component of that band and get out there and play.
Well, again, you can also put that with Journey. I mean, Journey's gone on for years without Steve Perry.
And they're still doing it.
And Neil
Schon turns around just the other day. I saw a clip. He says, I'm getting to know Steve Perry again. It's like, why? What happened? He still has some money left, so he's not ready to go out on tour yet?
Reunion tours. I'm selling reunion tours right now. I'm telling you. Oh, my God. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff, Tom, Sean, and John all hanging out for a few more minutes. I thank the boys for coming on as long as they are. We're having a good bit of laughs here on Jeff's birthday. And, again, I always celebrate my partner's birthday every year. So make sure you guys reach out to him on your own for all you people who didn't want to get involved and say hi to my boy, Jeff. So, guys, listen, I know you guys, Sean, I know you got a gig. John, I know you're still wrapping up from your vacation, so I'll let you guys go. I want to thank you both for coming on. And, of course, Jed, Sean, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you.
Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
You got something.
Go ahead. He's freezing, though.
So, obviously, there's a ton of great stuff going on in RFL. The Playhouse Boys are blowing up. We're waiting for Svengali to come out with their new album. Mm-hmm. David Lioncourt, which is, wow.
Nice guy. So, really nice guy. Great musician. Oh, my God.
All John. John was all over that. I'd like to give a little personal plug, if I could, to a gentleman that Sean introduced me to that I was like, and that's Mr. Jeff Westlake. You guys had Michelle Ryder on here
yes.
a couple of months ago. She's been working with Jeff, and Jeff Thank absolutely loves her. Jeff hates everybody, and he likes her. we know it, right? And so I've gotten to know Jeff really well over the last little bit. I did a drum track for one of his songs that he's got coming out. He's working on this album with Michelle. The guy's amazing. He's friggin', you know, he's a complete asshole when he wants to be, but he's a super talent.
Yes.
And there's just going to be a lot of good music coming out, but I just wanted to get that plug. So I want to say thank you for a number of months ago when you guys promoted that single because it did great.
Great song. She was fantastic. So, yeah, no, my pleasure. And and I thank Wesley because he always sends me stuff. I get stuff in my inbox, and especially and again, the new music's great. I love it all, but I love when he sends me his covers, especially his Kiss covers. I play them. I literally play them all the time when I'm sitting down working on the show. I got a lot of Wesley stuff playing in the background because I absolutely love his Kiss covers.
I don't want to let any cat out of the bag, but he got me to cover a Europe tune.
Oh wow!
And he sent me the song, and the first thing was, I don't want you using any clip track. Oh, okay. Which, how do you do that when you're recording over the thing? But anyway, his first line was a pretty complicated bass drum part. Hopefully you can get it. Anyway, it was one take, just saying. Anyway, Jeff's a lot of fun to work with.
Sometimes.
He doesn't mince any words. You know where you stand, good, bad, or otherwise, because he tells you right away.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? I thank John for introducing me to him because him and John and Doug kind of, when I first got involved with RFL, were sending me all this Westlake stuff, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? That huge Kiss fan. And yeah. Anyway, you know, I don't want to blow his head up too much. He knows how good he is. And thanks to you guys because you guys are always helping out promoting RFL. And I always have a good time when I'm, like I say, I say this to all my buddies. I said it the other day when I found out I was coming on this show. Like I'm hanging out with my two buddies from, you know, The Sopranos, right? My favorite show, and it's awesome. And Jeff, sorry about being a Giants fan. Or sorry, Jets fan. I'm Tommy and I are Giants.
That's
fan.
It. Absolutely. My man.
Problem, man. That's all right.
Well, first I want to tell you, first
at least, at least we like stuff from New York. Where the fuck, John?
Yeah, I wore the Jets stuff for his birthday. So
yeah.
Yeah. Slap in the face.
Listen, the gloves have to come off with you sooner or later, bro. You've got to start feeling some pain. You know?
Well, let me tell you something. This could be an ugly season for Johnny's team this year. I'm not sure.
There's times where you complain about Mike Tomlin, and we read it, and then I text Tommy, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? The Steelers are in the playoffs every year, and he complains about Mike Tomlin. Like, I would take Mike Tomlin today. No problem. Yes. And you're complaining. I hate Mike Tomlin. He didn't win the Super Bowl. They're supposed to win the Super Bowl every year. And I'm like, who's with this guy?
It's the real fan. It's the crazy in me,
the
I guess.
Fan.
The guy just drives you crazy because they get to that point, and then all of a sudden it's a bad
if
know,
you're the real fan
or whatever he does. It drives me crazy.
If you're the real fans out there, he should be lucky that you guys can't get rope and wood. You're allowed to string them up. Thank you, Will.
It's nothing against Tomlin as a person, though. I mean, I like the guy. I like what he does and what he represents. I just don't like.
No, but it was funny. The start of last year, John was ripping Tomlin apart. And by about three quarters into the season, he was like, well, he's actually doing a pretty good job. You know, he's got the team playing pretty well. I'm like,
I was shocked, man. There's times that he just shocks me, and just thinks so.
Well, this is what happens when you have a successful team.
Yeah.
Okay? When your team plays at a high level all the time, and every year, well, the Steelers are probably going to get to the AFC Championship again for fifth year in a row or whatever it is. And you're the fan, you expect that certain level. And when they drop, you guys can't handle it. That's why it's good to finish in last place. Anything other than last place, you're fucking doing it. There's no expectations here in Jet, man. Come on.
Oh, my God.
That's the wisdom right there. I love it.
I don't have to stay up on draft night because I know they're picking in the top 5 or 10. It's over. We're getting a good play in the room. It doesn't matter. It's all good.
My God. But listen, keep the music coming. You know, guys. And listen. It's been a long time since we did a round table with all the crowd. So, I mean, you know, let's stop being lazy out there. Let's do a couple round tables. Have some fun. Absolutely. And John and Jeff, let's get ready for Sunday Audible coming up pretty soon. I've got the football season ahead of us. So, but I'm expecting some great music out of you, Sean, RFL, and yours, Jeff Westlake stuff. So make sure we get to hear it first right here at the Hot Rocket Sports Show.
Absolutely. Anytime, boys.
Definitely have it.
Well, listen, guys, John, thank you for spending a little time with us, man. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Sean, had a blast tonight, man. Thank you. Hopefully you guys can come on more often.
Now the travel is opening up. I get to visit all you guys. Jeff, love to jam with you. John, I'd actually like to, sit down across the table from you face-to-face. Florio, we'll do New York sometime very
soon. Listen, I'll tell you right now. When you are going to get out to the Pennsylvania area to see John, we're all going to get together because it ain't going to happen very often. One of these days, you're going to have like an RFL reunion or an RFL conference, and you get all Dougie. I got to get Dougie here because I got to rip him for being a Cowboy fan, the whole bet. So we got to get the whole crowd together. Yes. We got to pick a point somewhere, Cincinnati, somewhere central location for everybody. And get everybody in for a weekend of just hanging out, having a few beers, and slapping each other on the back because
just clean out my backyard for that, man. Come on over.
I gotta get up there. I mean, to visit you guys. Sean's a great guy. I mean, when I started all this, I couldn't even imagine, looking back now how great of people that are involved. I mean, in all these circles. I mean,
sure.
All you guys right there, you guys know what you mean to me. Like I said, I haven't talked to Sean in a while because I know he's been busy, he's been doing a lot of things, and so have I and Doug. But, when he comes back, I mean, it's just like it's, the old friend, like a brother almost. And
never skip a beat.
It's really cool to have him here, believe me.
Well,
John's right. I am a great guy.
That's it.
It's on his business card that way. It says it. Sean McKenna. He's a great guy.
But I'll do this anytime, and I love that. If it's Steeltown, if it's New York, wherever we gotta pick a date and circle it.
Need to do is get you guys out playing somewhere so there's an event to show up to, whether it's you guys with Westlake playing someplace or a whole bunch of RFL record showcase and all the bands. We need to put that together, John, and I'll leave that to you, but I'm making a promise. If you put it together, I'm flying in for it.
Yeah, I want to do a festival. I mean, we've talked to a few of them. I have a couple ideas, a couple people that said they'd work with us. That has to happen. I do want to do that to be able to see everybody.
Absolutely. It'd be a nice time, get a couple hotel rooms and have a few laughs and tell a few war stories. So I'll leave that to you guys and the RFL. But, again, I love you both. I thank you both for coming on. More often, please. Anytime you can just sit around on a Thursday night, you're always welcome. And Johnny, let's start getting Sunday Audible cranked up and ready to go.
We're ready to roll.
All right, boys.
Jeffrey, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being a part of it tonight and hanging out with us, man. Thank you.
Ciao for now.
All right, boys. Take care.
Okay. Jeff, love you, brother. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
Love you, Sam. Love you, brother.
Love you, my man. Have a good night. Thanks for helping out, John. Appreciate it as always.
Later.
Thanks, guys.
See you, John. Good night. So that's Sean and John, our good buddies. And Jeff, it's a nice way to celebrate the birthday, you know, with friends and all that good stuff. So I'm happy that John and Sean had a minute, actually an hour to spend with us, which was pretty cool.
Well, listen, that was cool. John's mom said hello. Will Quote came and said hello. Leonard Anthony. We had a couple different people to pop on and pop in.
Yep.
And listen, it's just nice to spend a little time, have a little fun, man. You know the deal.
Yeah, listen. You know, it's something I like to do every year. It's just a nice way to bring people together and chit-chat and all that good stuff. So I'm always happy to try to make it work. And
Do I have time to take a squirt break, man?
You absolutely do. You've been good. You've been hanging in the whole time. So go do your thing. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, celebrating the big Jeff birthday here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Thanks for tuning in. We still got some more show to do. Not much more. I want to play another. I got one more video to play. We had my dad stop by and say happy birthday, and of course Sean and John from RFL stopped by to say hi. So that's always a good thing. And of course, again, and all you guys online who are saying hi to Jeff, I certainly appreciate it. So you know, stick around. We still got some more show to do. We're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. So stick around and. Yeah, we're watching the Yankees up 5-2 in the fifth inning up in Boston on a big weekend. It's a big weekend for the Yankees. So, you know, they can, I won't say cement it, but, you know, you can win three games here and you're leaving town pretty much up 16 games. This is about over and done with. So let's see how the Yankees fare out. Josh Donaldson grand slam and a back-to-backer with Aaron Hicks. Solo shot. So Yanks up 5-2, top of five. Let's see what else we got going on. I might play the Bobby Blitz again. Maybe we'll do that on the way out the door. I got one more birthday video for Jeff, so let's play that now. That he's in the boys who introduced us to Mike and Joe over at the Hemp Wizard, our new best friend. Jeff, we've made a lot of new friends with this show. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, we could say we got to meet and be friendly with on and off.
A lot of down-to-earth people.
Yes, very much. So I got one more video that I will play for you right now, and then we'll finish up the show with a couple of more topics before we call it a night.
Okie dokie.
Happy birthday, Jeff, from Black Sasquatch. Hard Rock and Sports, keep it squatchy.
You gotta love those guys. You gotta love them.
You know, do I have to look under the bed, Mike? You know, did something come into the
house?
You're not so sure.
Thank you, honey. You're never so sure with the Sasquatch boys. You never know where they're popping up from. So I want to thank Ted and Bob and everybody. They're big fans of the show. They watch every week. I mean, literally every week. And the first ones to like. And I put out a message and they sent me a video without even asking. So. I appreciate all those guys. So,
yeah, they did a lot of cool people, man. A lot of down to earth people.
Yes, and that's the best part of doing this is getting to hang out with friends, and I consider all these guys friends. So, hey Jeff, let's do a little. I want to finish up with the Baker Mayfield thing real quick because we really kind of were bouncing around on it a little bit. But you know, I know we joke about it. But I'm kind of dead serious. I would be hard pressed for you to convince me, and I don't know if you would try, that Cleveland may be the worst franchise in the NFL.
Well, they certainly went out of their way to make a strong. And thank you, Black Sasquatch, man. It is a much appreciated. Thank you. Very nice of you guys to stop in and send a video and spend a few minutes with us, man. We appreciate it. As far as Baker Mayfield goes in the Cleveland Browns, I don't understand. If you're going to look to get a new quarterback and you have a quarterback under contract for like $18 million a year who had a down year because he was injured,
right?
Don't you try anything under your power to maybe trade that quarterback first before you sign somebody else and then guarantee them over $200 million? I mean, maybe I'm backwards here. I don't know. Maybe that's not the way we do things in the NFL.
Well, I think that's the point of it is that, you know, you sign, the minute you sign Deshaun Watson, all right, you already knew that you didn't want Baker Mayfield back. But by the signing Deshaun Watson, you made Baker Mayfield essentially useless and have no value.
Never mind signing Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson. Just talking about the possibility of going after Deshaun Watson has now put you on a course where you could say, like, I have no choice. We have to go further. We can't go back now. We just burned every bridge with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know, like, we just completely ruined that relationship. As soon as word got out, that was it. It was over. Okay? That's why I can't understand, like, the logjam that is now going on in Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you're going to tell me that you actually Sam Darnold to beat out Baker Mayfield? I would take Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold any day.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. The problem is they picked up the option on Baker, on Sam Darnold, and now they're stuck with his guaranteed money. So
yeah, I understand that, but I mean, they also only paid, you know, $5 million or $4 million for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
I understand all of this.
Yeah.
But it's still the thought and idea is, let's just say that Baker Mayfield, now you bring Baker Mayfield in. Well, we're talking about the Carolina Panthers right now.
Yeah.
You bring in Baker Mayfield, and then you find out the guy's, like, got two left arms and he can't throw with either one of them. Okay? Like, he just has no arm strength. He can't get out of his own way. He's got no – his feet are no good. The guy's completely fucking broke.
Right.
Completely broke.